Welcome back into the Badger Extra podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, UW football beat reporter here for Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Joined today by State Journal and Badger Extra columnist Jim Polzine. We are going to be breaking down week five here in the Big Ten, all Big Ten games here this week. Conference play is officially upon us after, you know, mixing in the last couple of weeks of one or two or maybe even three conference games here in the slate. We'll get some more of our thoughts on the Badgers and everything when we get to that line and breaking down that game. But Jim, we were just kind of going through it before we started recording. This was one of the tougher weeks of spreads that I remember in doing this together in the last 3 years.
Yeah, you got to actually see me do my picks live, and it took me a while. I think you said when we first got on, there were a lot of lines that are right there, right? Like if we were just setting them ourselves, would have probably put them at. So difficult week. Some injuries make it more difficult, I think, to kind of predict, and we'll see how we do. Hopefully we bust out of this kind of mediocre stretch we're in.
Yeah, I was about to say, last week I was 3-5 and Jim went 4-4. Jim flipped his pick. I don't think we tweeted it out, but Jim flipped his pick pregame after the Jack Nelson news to Ohio State. So we'll give him that one. They covered against Wisconsin. But then we both had the caveat that we talked about on the podcast was that if Aiden O'Connell didn't play for Purdue, that we flipped our pick to Florida Atlantic. And then they were right in that game right to the very end. So both got that one. But we will get into all of our picks for this week, couple of tight matchups. And it's funny, Jim, as you're talking about, you know, where we would set them and they're right there. It's like, oh, yeah, that's why Vegas exists and why there are big casinos always getting built and money is always flowing in there. Right. Like it's not supposed to be easy. All right, we'll get into all of our picks right after this. All right, Jim, let's start with what I think might be the best game of the weekend in terms of just stylistically and really what we're going to learn about both teams here. Michigan is going to Iowa. Everybody knows that Iowa is one of the toughest places to play, especially if you're a top five team in the country. I think they've won their last three home games against top five teams, if I've seen that on Twitter this week. Michigan is a 10.5-point favorite at Iowa. We split on this game. I am taking Michigan. The number is tough because 10, I think 10 to 11, 12, 13 points, somewhere right around that range is where it ends up. But my thing is we just saw the Michigan defense not really be able to handle Maryland throughout long stretches of that game. Maryland was playing better. They had a couple of dumb turnovers and some things that helped Michigan pull ahead late. And then obviously Blake Corum had a great game, but we've seen Michigan's defense look a little bit fallible. And then obviously last week, Iowa played Rutgers, blew them out, really kind of seemed like they had figured some things out on offense just enough to make them competitive with how good their defense and special teams is. And I'm saying all that to say, I don't think that happens 2 weeks in a row. Michigan's a much better team. Overall, I'm taking Michigan. It's probably going to be close to not covering. That hook might screw me, but that's fine. I'll take Michigan.
Yeah, this is always dangerous, but I'm kind of – the history you were talking about in the lead-in is kind of what I'm going after, is that Iowa's got a good track record of being ready for top five, top ten opponents at that place, and I'm sure the energy in that place will be pretty good. I think they can hold down Michigan just enough. I think Michigan wins that game, but I think it's like a touchdown to 10 points, maybe. That was my only base. It's like, again, basing a pick on something that happened last year or years ago, you know, or 10 years ago is probably not sound logic, but I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah. The thing is too, this is an 11 o'clock game. So not that the travel from Detroit to, or from Michigan to Iowa City is like that terrible. It's a, you know, hour flight probably on their charter flights, but just, you know, anytime you have a morning game, you can expect a little bit of a slow start. And that's kind of, if I'm Iowa, that's the formula I want to set, right? I want it to be kind of a slugfest to start out and not let Michigan get to their explosive plays. And I mean, it's going to be going on at the same time with Wisconsin, Illinois. So I'll have to go back and watch it another time, but I'm going to be fascinated to see how Iowa's front seven tries to handle what Blake Corum's doing right now, because Michigan's offensive line's rolling. Blake Corum is rolling. He looks like, to me, the best back in the Big Ten. you know, up and down, like just overall. If Iowa can slow him down and puts it on McCarthy, you know, there's some chances for them to maybe pick a ball off and set up in good field position, give their offense a better chance. But if Corum gets going, I think that's – I don't see a way Michigan loses if they can get the run game going.
Yeah, we saw last week kind of the good and bad that go along with J.J. McCarthy, right? He makes these wild plays and sometimes plays well above his years. And then there's some times where it's like he doesn't have a clock in his head and he runs around back there and throws some really wild balls. So I think Iowa can rattle him a little bit, maybe. And especially in that road atmosphere, I don't think he's faced anything quite like this yet. So, you know, that's my thinking. Like the blueprint you laid out about keeping things ugly early was kind of how I thought last week's game with Wisconsin, Ohio State had to go if Wisconsin had a chance.
For sure.
An ugly first quarter and a second quarter where Ohio State's getting frustrated, that score gets kept within striking range. And then, you know, who knows what happens after that. And
that did not happen.
The exact opposite happened, right? I mean, it's 14-0 before I even had a chance to, you know, barely sit down and get comfortable. So not the way things Wisconsin, you know, not the way Wisconsin wanted things to go.
For sure. All right, let's move on to the next game here. And we're going to do another caveat here. Purdue is going to Minnesota. Minnesota is a 12-point favorite. I think that tells you what Vegas thinks about Aiden O'Connell's injury and his likelihood to play. I think Minnesota is probably going to be at least a touchdown favorite regardless because of how they're playing and being at home. The fact that it's double digits and up to 12, I think that says that Vegas is pretty sure Aiden O'Connell's not playing. With that said, if Aiden O'Connell plays, I'll take the 12 plus 12, but I'm going to assume he doesn't. So I'm going to take Michigan as the official, or Minnesota as the official pick, minus 12. I just think that this team, Tanner Morgan knows how to run this offense. Just it's an RPO system that works so well for him because he's accurate over the middle. They've got enough receiving talent. And then Mo Ibrahim just continues to churn out first downs. Like, if you look at some of their stats, it's ridiculous. I think they're converting like 73% of their third downs, and their average to go is like 3.2 yards. It's nuts. And that's good offense. It's playing almost like Canadian style where you just avoid third down altogether. You'd go for the first, second down, try to convert. But then just they're playing very efficient. I'll say the same thing I did last week. I don't think they've played anybody yet. Michigan State really kind of got exposed last week, being at home in a game they really needed to just come out that flat and get just crushed from the first quarter on. I mean, that's maybe I should be giving more credit to Minnesota for that than dogging Michigan State for it. But still, like, I think this Minnesota team just kind of knows who they are and knows what they're going for. And I think they'll be able to cover 12 against a Purdue team that if they don't have O'Connell just slinging it around back there, I don't think they have very much.
Yeah, I'm going to take Minnesota either way. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I do think they're for real. I think anytime you go on the road and just have a dominating performance like that, even if it's against a team that clearly is trying to find itself at Michigan State, I'm buying the stock. I'm buying the Minnesota stock right now, and I think they're going to win by 2 touchdowns.
Fair enough. All right, let's jump down to the biggest spread here in the Big Ten this week. Rutgers is going to Ohio State. Jim, I'm going to let you start this one off here. We just saw Ohio State. Ohio State's a 39.5-point favorite against Rutgers at home. You are on the Buckeyes. Lay it out for me.
My logic is that Rutgers just may not score. And I saw this Ohio State offense up close. And Greg Schiano's a great defensive mind. I'm not doubting that. But I think they'll score 42 points. So it's going to be at least 42-0 is my thinking. And again, like you were sitting here when I looked at that number and I was just like, cause I hadn't looked at your text yet. And I saw that number and kind of was like, wow, that's an incredibly high number for Big Ten play. And yet I'm taking it.
You're convincing me here. Cause you go back and look at Ohio State. They've scored 21 at home against what we thought was going to be a good Notre Dame team. And ends up being like not that great, but 21 there, then 45, 77, and 52 against Wisconsin last week. You're right. They're going to hit 40. I think that's kind of their bare minimum. And then it goes down to how much is Rutgers going to score. All right, I'm doing a live flip here. I wanted to take Rutgers and the points just because it was so many. I thought just, you know, some garbage time because I wonder if this is a game that, especially with all the emotion, I mean, that team was pretty hyped up last week, and they wanted to make a statement against Wisconsin, it kind of felt like. So I wondered if maybe they take the foot off the gas with Rutgers here, because they've got Michigan State and Iowa coming up next 3 weeks, or next 3 weeks is Michigan State, Iowa, and then Penn State. I thought maybe they took the foot off the gas, but even if they do, what is taking the foot off the gas? Like, you take out Travion Williams or Travion Henderson, you throw Mion Williams out there, and he's arguably just as good. Like, it's Julian Fleming didn't play as many snaps as normal last week, even with Smith and Jigba out, and he's probably a top five receiver in the conference when you line them all up. It's just too, there's just too much talent on the team. I'm going to flip to Ohio State too.
That's history. I don't think we've ever had a live flip. And
especially not me. I never liked admitting that I'm wrong.
The funny thing is, Colton, as you're sitting there kind of explaining what your original thoughts were, I was considering a flip back the other way, because you're right. I mean, if anything, if any time could a letdown game could happen, it's this week for Ohio State, right? Where they're coming off a big win on national television. They've got three pretty significant games coming up. You could see a slower start, but I'm with you. I just don't know how Rutgers scores, and I think Ohio State's going to score plenty.
Yeah. All right, let's jump over to Northwestern going to Penn State. Northwestern, after beating Nebraska out in Ireland to start the year, has lost to two FCS schools, both, and then Duke at home. Not what you wanted to see if you're Pat Fitzgerald coming off a good win week zero. And this line is straight disrespectful, to the point of, like, we don't think you can do anything, because Penn State is a 25-point favorite. Penn State was actually a huge favorite last weekend against Central Michigan and did not cover. That went into my thoughts here. But to me, 28, it's a lot of points. But I just don't think Northwestern has much going on either side of the ball. Like, they're letting up points to Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
And, I mean, who was it last week? Miami of Ohio comes in as a 7.5-point underdog at Ryan Field and then wins outright. I mean, not what you want to see if you're Northwestern. And Penn State's got enough, I think, 28 points right around there. Maybe it's 35-7, 35-10. Yeah, 10 would push it. But, yeah, either way, I'll go with Penn State.
Did I pick Penn State or Northwestern? Because this is one where I was going back
and
forth.
You were going to go Northwestern, but then you flipped to Penn State.
I changed Penn State. Okay. That's how close this game is to me. Like, I could see it being right at the line. And I'm just taking Penn State. I've had a lot of luck with Penn State, so let's just go with that. I think I've bet on Northwestern. Not officially bet, but I think I've gone with Northwestern a couple times and lost on them. So I'm just basically – this was kind of a flip a coin game to me. Bizarre timing for Northwestern to come out this week with, here's our new state-of-the-art stadium we want to build, right? I mean, like,
yeah, bizarre is one way to put it.
Yeah, it's
that seemed good. Like a good old smokescreen, like, oh my god, stop looking at the product on the field, let's look at pictures of what our field could look like.
Yeah, so I'm anxious to see. Like, the funny thing is, like, are you still going to be a little bit concerned for Wisconsin going into next week's game at Ryan Field?
Oh, though? Yeah, just
exactly right.
Just because of the ghosts of Ryan Field, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, it's bizarre.
All right, so we're both on the Nittany. Oh my god, the Nittany Lions. There,
this is not our best effort, by the way.
No, it's not. This is rough. All right, Michigan State is going to Maryland. We mentioned Michigan State coming off that tough showing against Minnesota last week, and then Maryland, you know, showing out really well, and kind of, you know, I thought we're right there in that Michigan game until the very end. Blake Corum rips off a big run to kind of put the game away. But Maryland is an 8-point favorite against Michigan State. And I, if I had a little more time this week, I was going to go back and look, like, when's the last time that Maryland was favored against any of the big boys in the East? Because, I mean, this is probably one of the biggest spreads they've had against a top tier, or at least bigger name in the Big Ten East. All that being said, Michigan State's biggest weakness is their pass defense. That's been something that's killed them all year. Even though Talia Tagovailoa is hurt and is allegedly a game-time decision, Vegas thinks he is playing because his line hasn't moved whatsoever. So I'm going to take Maryland because I just think this passing offense is going to take advantage of the biggest weakness Michigan State has.
Yeah, I'm taking Maryland too. I was really, you know, that was the first chance I had to really sit down and watch a full game of theirs in a while, and I was really impressed. Not We knew they could score, and I've kind of ripped on their defense all along, but I thought they've got some speed on the defense and guys that can make some plays. I think, I was really impressed. I think Mike Locksley is doing a really good job, and that program's trending the right way. I mean, I don't know if they ever become, a true power in that tough division, but I was impressed. I think they've accumulated a lot of high-end talent there, and doing a pretty good job coaching them up, and I think they cover this week. I think this is probably another one that's probably in that 10 to 12 to 13 range, but I think they'll get across the 8 point line.
If you're Michigan State, I mean, that was happening immediately as that game's going on last week against Minnesota. Are you really like concerned about the Mel Tucker contract, or are you like kicking yourself a little bit for locking him up for that much? I mean, he's a top 10, top 5 paid coach in all of college football off of one season. And I understand the reservations on that, but I understand that there was some thought, let's lock him up, let's get him secure here money-wise and contract length-wise. So that if he has another good year, he doesn't get poached right away, which I think could have happened. But man, it doesn't look great when you're paying your coach, was it like $11, $12 million, and you're not even competitive at home against a division or a Big Ten opponent.
I could be wrong on this, but isn't a lot a big chunk of that change from they have a super rich booster?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's not all coming from Michigan State, but
Right.
it's still the salary, right? I mean, it's still the
Right. It's still, I
money.
mean, it's still, and it's optics, right? It's optics. Like, how could you possibly give this coach who had one good year this big of a contract? I get that. Yeah, I mean, I kind of, my eyebrows were raised when that happened in the first place. I thought, wow, that's a lot of money to give a guy who's, really had one good year and nothing more. So I get it. He's made that program relevant, but I still don't think it's ever going to get, I wrote this article last week about Wisconsin and Ohio State, the gap being big. I don't know that Mel Tucker and those guys closed the gap on Ohio State and even the team in their own state, Michigan, no matter who's coaching that program. So I don't know. I understand, like, there's a lot of people at Wisconsin, a lot of Wisconsin fans are shouting that Wisconsin should do something like that, right? Go get the guy that will be the game changer and pay him whatever you have to pay him and then see what happens. So part of me is like, okay, Michigan State is going for it. They're using the resources, but man, if this goes haywire, then it's a really, really bad look.
Yeah, it's an expensive look if you
Yeah.
do end up having to move on, or he wants to be out because it's a tough situation for him. All right, let's jump to what I think is the weirdest line of the week. Indiana is going to Nebraska this week. Nebraska is a 5-point favorite. I know Indiana is not good. I've been on that all year. Like when they beat Illinois, I said that was going to be their only Big Ten win of the year. But Nebraska laying anything more than 3 against anybody right now, I don't understand it. So based simply on that and just a lack of belief in the entire structure of Nebraska at the moment, where they're I mean, credit to him, Mickey Joseph, their coach, is talking about how this is his job interview. You know, the next 8 games are his job interview to potentially be the Nebraska coach. It's like, well, cool, man, but like if I'm a senior upperclassman on that team, like it's my season. Like I don't really care about you and your job interview and all this stuff. Like it's my season, my chance to try to go to the NFL if that's what I want to do. Like I just think that there's not a whole lot of unity and a whole lot of, I feel like, togetherness on that Nebraska sideline. And I think Indiana gets up early and then the fans just go nuts. Because the last time Nebraska was at home, I believe they lost to Georgia Southern, and that was the last game of the Frost era. Have they played a home game since? Because weren't they on the road against
I thought that Oklahoma game was in Lincoln too.
Oh, was it? Okay, excuse me. Well, either way, not
Yeah,
pretty.
that one didn't go well either. No.
Yeah. So I'm going to take the points with Indiana.
Yeah, I agree, and I also agree with you. That feels a little bit dirty to do that because Indiana's not someone that you want to endorse. Like, I don't feel great about where that program's headed either. This is like you mentioned. This is Mickey Joseph's chance to pull a Greg Gard and take a team over and try to unite it and get some wins and try to get the full-time job. But I think it's a different situation. The one thing I made the mistake of kind of maybe gave Nebraska a little bit too much credit for their work in the transfer market in the offseason.
I did too. I thought they nailed a lot of the guys that they brought in.
Because even if you bring in talent, I think this is the one thing that people need to understand is you can bring in a lot of talent. Michigan State did this successfully last year, so I'm not saying it can't be done, but bringing in talent doesn't mean you're going to have a cohesive team or a cohesive locker room. And especially if you encounter turbulence early, these are guys that just don't know one another. They don't trust one another. They, in some cases, just might not like each other yet. So if you have some early adversity in a season and you don't have a locker room that's united, I can see how it can get ugly in a hurry, especially then you lose the coach, the guy that you came in to play for. And it's, Mickey Joseph's job to kind of unite everything. So that's the danger in this transfer portal. And I think that's one thing that Wisconsin coaches, all sports I've talked to, are a little concerned about is that the locker room chemistry is something you don't want to disrupt. Even though I think everybody knows that if you can bring in some players that are difference makers, it can push you over the top if that's where you are.
Right. And I mean, as much as we love talking about culture and sports and all that stuff right now, like, you know what the best culture is? If you start winning, everybody's in a
Yes.
good mood, right?
Yes.
If you have a good team, and you're winning on the court or the field or whatever, it makes it a lot easier to, have a positive outlook. And I don't know. I just don't see Nebraska doing that. I also think if there is a strength for Indiana this year, their offense seems to be able to move the ball every once in a while, and Nebraska's defense is bad. So I'll take the five. I don't love that pick, but I am never going to lay points with Nebraska.
Yeah, shame on us if we
Yeah,
fall
I'm
for
done. I've
that,
been burned by them every year we've been doing this, so I'm just done with them. All right, let's get to the main event here. 11 o'clock kickoff. Illinois coming back to or coming to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a 7-point favorite. Started at 9 or 9.5, depending on where you're at. Now it is down to 7. So clearly, there's a lot of belief outside of this game that Illinois will at least be close, if not outright win it. We are not on that bandwagon of believing that. We are both taking Wisconsin to cover the 7 points. Here's what I think. This team got embarrassed last weekend. I think a lot of them, especially on the defense, they were out there thinking that they had a great plan. Ohio State just picked it apart in the first two drives. Gets up 14-0, and then their kind of hair was on fire, right? They just did not have discipline with what they were doing up front. They didn't have guys that personally, or frankly, didn't have guys that could match up on the back end regardless, but that just became more and more exposed as they kept trying to do too much and everything went bad. They're going to get back to basics here. This is going to be an ugly, just not fun to watch game. I think this ends up being like 24-13, 24-14, something like right around there. The Badgers just grind out runs, make a couple of pass plays, and then rely on the defense to stop a pretty good running back, but a guy that doesn't have nearly the people on the outside supporting him and distracting you that Ohio State did or some of the other good running backs in this Big Ten does. I mean, now I'm blanking on his name. Chase Brown comes in as the nation's leading runner, but everything they do in the pass game is within the line of scrimmage or trying to then use those line of scrimmage fakes to then go deep. I think this defense is going to have enough wherewithal to not let that stuff fool them and keeps them pretty well locked down. And then Wisconsin wins. But like I said, ugly game start to finish.
This is really, to me, a line in the sand moment for this program. And that's kind of what I'm basing this pick on. If you've got people out there saying your coach doesn't have passion and your team doesn't show passion, this is the time to show that's wrong, right? This is the time to play with some passion, bring the heat, just show some emotion and put together a really, really complete performance. And that's I know that's probably crazy to predict that that'll happen, but that's why I'm making this pick is because I feel like if not now, then when? If you can't bounce back from what happened last week, when's it going to happen? And then a lot of people are questioning a lot in this program right now. So I do think there are a lot of proud guys in that locker room and on that coaching staff, and this is their chance to prove it against, by the way, a guy who's on the other sidelines, who was here once upon a time and who some fans are still clamoring for. So that's my pick has nothing to do with X's and O's. It's strictly emotions. And I think Wisconsin bring some this week.
That's fair. I wasn't here when Brett Bielema was here. What do you think the crowd reaction is going to be, Jim? As somebody who's here and hears from fans on a weekly and daily basis with your Open Gym podcast and column and everything.
Yeah, I talked to a couple of Illinois people this week. I was on some shows and they were one, you know, that was their number one topic. I think he'll get booed. I don't think he's going to get booed a lot. Like, and fans always boo, right?
Yeah, so I think it's just the pregame, because I think fans in Wisconsin are so annoyed and like upset with their own team that they're going to just, you know, out of that what they feel is like obligation, boo Brett Bielema in the pregame, and then it's going to be all back on can Wisconsin do whatever they're mad about, you know?
Right. And that's what I was going to say next, is that people are just grouchy in general right now, you know? So it probably is not going to take a lot for them to boo anything. And the coach that left him a decade ago, at, you know, with for another program, you know, I think there's still some hurt feelings. And I maintain that it probably would have been fine, because I think a lot of people here were kind of ready to move on, because he had lost in Rose Bowls, which sounds crazy to people now because they haven't been back. But I think the thing that really set it off is the Jen Bielema karma tweet a year later. And I think that's what made the feelings even worse. But that's a long time ago. And I think people have gotten over it. And like, you know, I kind of alluded to it in my previous answer. Like I wrote this column that's on Badger Extra and Madison.com right now on comparing the Brett Bielema to Paul Chryst era. And they both 92 games. It's a interesting, I mean, the fact that they've arrived here with 92 games and you can kind of make a head-to-head comparison is interesting. But I went on Facebook this week and there were some people saying that they'd rather have Bielema back. And I don't know, I'm not trying to convince anybody on anything with my column, but I think you should take a closer look, because the numbers need context before you just, you know, jump in and look at win-loss records and division championships and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it's a very good column. Go on Madison.com and check that out, or BadgerExtra.com as well. Same Badger Extra, check out my story on the arguments that you may have seen from Graham Mertz and Chimere Dike on the sideline for the Badgers, and why a lot of them, or both of them, say it's not a big deal and they're actually about as tight of friends as you can be. So really interesting read, and kind of just the emotions of the game and how Graham Mertz wants, you know, kind of to be challenged by his teammates and wants to push each other like that, because, you know, I wrote in the story, Graham Mertz has been dissected every which way you can be. To his credit, always showed up to answer for it from the media and to people online and stuff like that. And I think for him, it's refreshing to just get stuff out and then move on from it. And that's kind of a good look at that relationship between those two guys. So make sure you're on Badger.com or BadgerExtra.com, checking all of that out. And make sure you're there for our live blog Saturday morning as we take in this Illinois-Wisconsin game. As Jim aptly put it, it's a line in the sand game for this Badger program, and it's going to be interesting to see there. So make sure you're checking all that out. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week.